as Bugs Bunny.
That's all, folks. Good to see you here this morning. If you open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17, I've chosen as my text verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to read the text here, and I have to admit that this message may be disjointed. I hope you'll bear with me. I just have a lot of thoughts on my mind, but we'll get through it one way or the other. Luke in chapter 17, beginning in verse 7. "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." So the question for us this morning is, have we done that which is our duty to do? Or better yet, have I done that which is my duty to do? And before we begin, I'll ask Brother Stephen. I see him here this morning, so I'll ask him to lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear Father, we praise your name. Thank you for the day you've given us and the ability to meet freely here. Lord, we ask that you would give Brent the ability to speak, give him clarity of mind and speech. Lord, I pray that we would put to work the words that we hear today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I really do want to focus on this first part, this little phrase that we find in this passage of the Scriptures about our duty. I'm going to try to break it down again. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know that all of my thoughts are clear this morning. We will go with it the best we can. But I do want to define what duty is. I do want to face the remarks that Jesus made here and the question specifically that was raised here, and then talk about our duty as it applies to us. So I'd want to try to get through those most certainly, but I do have some other thoughts. First of all, what is our duty? What does it mean to have a duty? So a duty is an action that one is required to perform. And it's very similar to responsibility, but responsibility is an action that one should do. So that's sort of the technical difference. But there is a duty, and I think we're all aware that we have duties. Maybe less in our generation, we're less aware of that. But anybody that reads the Bible should realize that all of us have duties to do. We have responsibilities that we should do. There are certain phrases that we use. I think our young people probably, you know, on their Xboxes, call to duty. I think that's a game. I might be wrong on that, but I think it is. Call to duty. I saw some advertisement about it. But there is a call to duty. So what is it that is our call? What are we called to do? What is our duty? To take responsibility, the call to duty. Duty calls. Do something in the line of duty. Somebody says, I'm duty bound. I have an obligation to do something. Certainly here, this servant had a duty to do. And there is an expectation. Of course, when I read this, Jesus says, which of you having a servant plowing and feeding cattle? And immediately my old nature says, well, that's not me. I don't have a servant, certainly not one that plows or feeds cattle. So maybe that's not me. But I think the lesson here applies to all of us, whether we have a servant that plows and feed. I think we can understand what the Lord is trying to convey here, that we have certain obligations to do. We have certain duties to do. And until those are completed, even when they are completed, I should say, that was our duty. We shouldn't demand thankfulness for that, because that was simply our duty. And in that, how that faces in the face of religion, and how many people say, you know, I'm going to get to heaven by my works, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Well, you don't get rewarded for doing what you're supposed to do, is the point. And have we done that which is our duty? And this has come up because, being back in the States now for a few years, I've been more reflective on politics, general society, because coming back to America, I've seen great changes here in America as far as the labor force, the social structure of our society. And I've given thought to that, and that's sort of why my brain is a little bit warped this morning on trying to bring some things out. So I just want to bring out a few points, and then I'll try to bring the message home. This comes up also in the workplace. We have a responsibility. I'm just really surprised that this is not common practice, but when talking with my manager, I have to meet with him once a month and have to discuss things about, you know, what my goals are, and I basically tell him I want to do my duty plus 10%. That is, I want to give 100 to 110% on the job, because I believe as a Christian I have that responsibility to set the example. Amen. And it's a little strange for him that I have to serve him as I serve Christ. He wasn't quite ready for that response. But that is the attitude that I see in the scriptures, that we are servants. And I must confess that I don't like being a servant. I prefer to be served. Amen. Don't you? I mean, if we're going to talk about this, wouldn't you, when we read this, isn't a natural tendency for us to say, yeah, I wish I had a servant that was feeding the cattle and they can come and make my supper for me. I wish I had that. We would like to be the master in this situation instead of the servant if we had our others. I don't know how you say that, really. Let me just read a couple passages of scriptures, and then I'll try to, just some thoughts. Matthew chapter 20, hold your place. Matthew chapter 20. And verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them unto his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto him, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his a steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the first, from the last, unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have done the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, how does that fit into our American capitalistic society? Have you ever made an agreement with somebody? Is it not your duty to fulfill that agreement? So if you agree with somebody that's hiring you, there's a master-servant relationship. If you agree with the master for a penny, then that is an agreement. And then you would have an obligation, a duty, to fulfill that agreement without complaint. The problem is, my nature, your nature is, we like to complain, and we don't want to fulfill agreements. Now, I hear my friends talking about what would Jesus do in our society. Well, I don't think he would do anything different than he did back then. So, it looks to me like there are freely arranged agreements among willing participants. I mean, the servant, the one that was hired in the morning, he came out and he thought Penny was good for a day. He thought that was a good deal. And his compatriots also thought that that was a good deal. And then the last one that comes up, he didn't even have an agreement on the exact amount, but he figured, well, nothing is, something is better than nothing, so I'll agree for whatever he thinks is right. Do you get the picture? Okay, so I'm just laying the groundwork right now. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Each one is given a certain amount of talents. And then the one that went and hid his talent, that talent is taken away from him and given unto him that had 10. I'm thinking my own life and probably some of yours, how you work. Some people would rather work piecemeal rather than salary. And there is a difference. I know Mike Jackson, when I worked with him, he always liked to work piecemeal. He did not want to work for so much an hour, because he could do a whole lot more work than other men that could do it for an hour. So if you're going to make door jams, and normally, you know, if you're paid so much an hour, I don't know what the going rate is for a carpenter. I'm going to probably be way off. You know, I was paid $7 an hour back in the day, but I'm sure it was a whole lot more now. But you're paid so much an hour to build door jams all day. And Mike figured out that I want you to pay me by the door jam, because I can do more than an hour most than other men can, and he can make more money that way. Yeah. And what I found, that those that are paid by the hour, it's amazing how they can stretch out the work. I found that practically, because when we began our project in Poland to do the Polish Bible Project, we hired grammarians to work for us. And in the beginning, we hired them by the hour. And it was amazing how long it took to finish a chapter. Because we hired three people, we hired them, and then they would come together, have a meeting, discuss certain words in a given chapter, they would compare their work, and it's amazing, they would argue over one word for 3 hours. And they would start the meeting that two would be in agreement that the word should be this word, and one would be in a disagreement, and in that 3 hours time, it's amazing, they switch positions. And you can imagine how long of a process this is by trying to get this Bible project done, this translation done, when they're arguing over one word for 3 hours, and after the end of 3 hours, they change their minds, they switch positions, and then they'd have to start all over again. Well, we had some difficulties, and I was left on my own for a while, and I decided to put an ad in the newspaper to hire grammarians. And when they came for their interview, I asked them, instead of telling them what I was going to pay them, I asked them what they wanted to be paid. And surprise of surprise, they said, well, the going rate is so much a page. I said, what? Well, the going rate is so many zlotys a page. What are you talking about? Well, we'll do a page, and then you'll pay me this. I thought, wow. This is very beneficial for me and for Joe. This is very, very beneficial, because now they're only going to get paid when the work gets done.
Amen.
And it is amazing how they could do a whole page so much faster. And they would turn in, you know, a whole book faster than those that were working for an hour that did previously. And boy, the project completely changed then, because they were working, let's say, piecemeal, or they were working per page instead of for an hour. What does that have to do with my message? It has to do with duty and agreements. And he says here, he asks at the end, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And so the question for me is, am I doing that which is my duty to do? And then for you, are you doing that which is your duty to do? Are you fulfilling your obligations? And there are obligations all across the board. There are obligations to study. There are obligations as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother. There are duties to do in the church. There are duties to do out in society, at your place of work or school or wherever. We all have duties. Would you agree with me this morning? Look in Luke in chapter 12 and verse 48. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, to him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, I've thought about my life and our church. And people that would comment about my life, they would say something like, you know, you're very zealous, you're very diligent or whatever. And people that have commented about our church would say similar things, that we're very zealous, we love the Lord, we're doing great things for God. And if we compare ourselves among ourselves, then yes, that would be true. We're doing great things. I mean, look at the missions that we've done here. Look at the people we sent out to the mission field. Yes, we've done some great things. And certainly Janice and I have served in Mexico and Poland and here, and we've done a lot of things. But then when I compare myself among those in our society today, I could say, attaboy, you've really done good. But then when I look at the scriptures and compare myself to the scriptures, I'm thinking, I'm an unprofitable servant. I have just done my duty, barely that. And if that be the case with me, isn't that the case with you as well?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So one of the priorities of duty is to be faithful at your duty.
Amen.
Are you faithful? Am I faithful? In the task that the Lord has given me, in the task the Lord has given you, are we faithful stewards? Are we faithful servants? Another thing I want to bring out this morning, just to be clear, is, you know, Bill's been doing these studies on the great questions in the Bible, and we've all asked our questions, and you might want to prepare for next week and have some good questions for him in case he asks again, the opportunity presents itself. But when I think about those things, and I've just realized, you know, if I have all the answers to the Bible questions, but I'm not a good servant of the Lord, then what profit is it to me? And something similar, I think Paul brought out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is, you know, if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not what?
Charity.
What are the priorities in our life? Our duties. Well, we can't get by without reading Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let's read it. I think a sister or brother read this in a open meeting the other night. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the wisest man on the earth. He says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's going to wrap it up for us. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, For this is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
For God shall bring every work unto judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Here is the whole duty of man. And what is it? That wasn't a rhetorical question, I'm sorry. What is the whole duty of man? Is the what? Fear God and keep His commandments. Isn't that reasonable? It's reasonable. And He tells us this is the whole duty of man. So if you want to get right to the answer to the question, what is the whole duty of man? He tells us, fear God and keep His commandments. Under that microscope, how am I doing? How are you doing? Are you doing your duty? Are you fearing God? Proverbs in chapter 29, we had a Bible study the other night. We touched on this verse. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Isn't it amazing that we can fear man, but somehow we have an excuse that we can't fear God? Aren't many of us motivated by the fear of men? We're afraid of what they might say. Yeah? We're afraid of what they might think about us. And there's a great, I presume, there's this battle over social media. I think one of the solutions to that particular problem is the do away with the anonymity. That if you want to post something on social media, you should have your full name and your most recent picture. I think we would get away with, we would put an end to a lot of this stuff because people say things on social media platforms that they would never say to somebody face to face. As long as they're in the dark, they can shout out darkness or spew out darkness. But if everybody knew who they were, I don't think they'd be spewing out the things that they spew. But the whole duty of man, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Just a couple of verses on that thought. John chapter 7 and verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, talking about Jesus. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Do you know fear puts a restraint on people? The fear of men. Why is it that when you see a police officer often in the distance, or you hear a radar go off, I don't know if you carry a radar in your car, or you hear on, well, I guess people don't do that anymore, but your map, your GPS map says a police officer is up here. What is your natural tendency to do? You slow down. Why? Fear. You don't want to get a ticket, right? You're afraid. Fear is a good thing. It restrains us. But the Bible says that the fear of man is a snare. Look over in John chapter 9. Do you remember the blind man that got healed? They came and asked his parents about whether, you know, about their son. We'll pick it up in verse 19. And they asked them saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? So they asked them three questions. Is this your son? Was he born blind? And how is it that he sees? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Good for them. And that he was born blind. What a tragedy. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, because no doubt he came and told you. We know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? Well, how do you know is a who that opened their eyes? We know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Fear motivated them to lie. And when you and I tell a lie, it's because we fear man. And that's a snare. Another example, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him the face, this is Paul speaking, because he was to be blamed. For behold, that certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So here is the mighty Peter. Here is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ who got a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And it seems to me, if you read in Acts chapter 10, that he understood the message of the revelation. That God has no respecter of persons. That he is allowed to go unto the Gentiles, because up to that time he didn't think it was allowable. But the Lord shows him that yes, it is allowable to go to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. It's allowable to go into their homes and eat whatever they had to eat. And Peter did that. But when he heard that James and those that were coming from James were coming, he separated himself. Have you ever done that? I try to visit some of you and knock on the door and, I shouldn't say y'all. I don't want to name any names. Let's just say in my experience in visiting church members, it's amazing when they find out that the pastor is knocking at the door, what begins to happen? Yeah? You know, there are windows in people's houses, and I don't mean to look in, but you're just standing there, and you know, the door's got a window. You can just see what's going on, and everybody's scampering, and things are going, and you know, all of a sudden the radio goes off, and the TV goes off, and people are, you know, usually they're trying to clean things up, and then they open the door. Oh, so good to see you. Yeah. Aren't we all guilty of that? Why? Because we fear man. We fear what others think about us. Isn't that true? It's true of every one of us. It's certainly true with me. And yet the whole duty of man is to fear the Lord. Do we fear God? What if it was Jesus knocking at the door? What kind of changes, rapid changes, would we make? Fear the Lord. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Now, what if I could get to the place, or you, or we could get to the place that we did not fear what man can do unto us? Amen. Do you know that's very powerful?
Amen.
Do you remember the three Hebrew children? We don't care if you burn us or not. Doesn't matter. We're not bowing before your image. We're not going to bow.
Amen.
Our Lord is able, but even if he's not going to deliver us, we still not going to bow.
Amen.
Would that change us?
Amen.
It would certainly change me. Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. How about that for a directive? Don't be afraid of them that kill the body, because there's something more important than this life. If this life was all there was, then yes, fear the person that could kill the body. Don't leave your house. You might get COVID. Don't drive on the highway. You might get in a wreck. Don't go to the store. You might get shot. But if there's something more than this life, then Jesus said, and he was convinced that there's more than this life. He said, don't fear them that can kill the body. Fear somebody that has power to cast both body and soul into hell. Fear him. Who's that?
Amen.
That's God Almighty.
Amen.
And the preacher said, Solomon said, the whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and keep his commandments. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If we can get convinced that God is on our side, why would we fear men? And what happens is we have a head knowledge that God is on our side, but in the situation that we find ourselves, we forget that God is on our side and we begin fearing men more than we fear God. Is that not a truth? And this is one of the reasons we gather together so that we can remind ourselves that the whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and keep His commandments. It's not a chain on your neck or something put around you that you're forced to go to church. Going to church actually helps you.
Amen.
Because it reminds us of our duty. And our duty is to fear the Lord. Is not the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom?
Amen.
It would be good for you just to run through your Bible and what it says the fear of the Lord is. I think it says the fear of the Lord is pure, the fear of the Lord is a comfort, etc. The fear of the Lord. I think my life would change if I feared the Lord more than I feared you. If I feared the Lord's opinion more than I feared your opinion. If I feared the Lord's opinion more than I feared what somebody in Twitter or social media land had to say. And we certainly live in a generation where people are more respectful of opinions of men than they are the opinions of God.
That's right.
And then he says, and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Then notice what he says, for thy good.
Amen.
Do you remember when you were a child and your daddy told you to do something? And you bucked up and you crossed your arms or you rebelled and you said, that's not fair. Or I don't want to do that. Or more often probably is, why do I got to do that? Have you ever done, do you remember that? Was it only me? Some of you young people, have you ever done that? Do you realize that your father, by the fact that he is older than you, has more experiences than you do? And that he's faced life situations and he knows a little bit more than you do. Is it not possible that he's asking you to do something that you don't want to do, but he's asking you to do it for your good?
Amen.
Why can't I do that? Well, you don't realize the dangers that are involved. Your daddy does. Your mother does. And certainly our Heavenly Father does. And so He tells us to do certain things, even though we don't want to do it, but He says, do it for thy good.
Amen.
Now, your boss isn't always looking out for your good. Your neighbor isn't always looking out for your good. Your husband and wife is probably not always, hopefully more than others, but probably not always looking for your good. Your own pastor is not always looking for your good. We all have this tendency to look out for ourselves. But the Father in His great love is looking out for us.
Amen.
And He's concerned about us. And guess what? He wants our good.
Amen.
And that is an amazing thing. And then why wouldn't we love Him? And why wouldn't we fear Him? And why wouldn't we keep His commandments? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. The apostle said, and hereby we do know that we know him if what? We keep his commandments. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because what? We keep his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? Keep his commandments. Solomon said, This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. Moses said, in quoting the Lord, this is done for our good. The question remains, have we done that which is our duty to do? Have I done that which is my duty to do? Romans in chapter 1, I'm going to wrap it up here. Paul said in verse 14, I am a debtor. We could say it in other words, in the confines of this message, I have a duty. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Notice what he says. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also.
Amen.
I think Paul is saying in the context of this message this morning is, I have a duty and I'm ready to respond. It's a call to duty. I'm ready to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Jews, to the wise, the unwise. I'm ready to go to Rome because it's my duty and I'm a debtor.
Amen.
We live in a generation, and I'm afraid it has influence on all of us. It's crept into our lives that we think other people are debtors to us. The government owes us. The teacher owes us. The boss owes us. And we've forgotten the message, at least I have. I have to remind myself daily that we are servants of Christ. That I am an unprofitable servant, and when I do my duty, I'm not deserving of thanks. I have no right to demand my thanks because I've just done my duty.
Amen.
And when I think about this in the context of salvation, how many people are thinking they're going to get to heaven because they've done just their duty? It's your duty to keep the commandments. And something very important, the Lord will reward every man according to his works. And if you fail your duty, there's going to be consequences. And if you're going to try to earn heaven, you got to go way past your duty. And you're not even doing your duty as far as I can see. And that's why we thank God that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank God for His mercy.
Amen.
Even though we failed in our duty, He's merciful.
Amen.
And God doesn't have to be merciful, but He is.
Amen.
He has showed the old man what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
Have I done that which is my duty to do? Have you done that which is your duty to do? Have we done, as a church collectively, have we done that which is our duty to do? That is the question. That is the question I need to ask of myself. That's what I'm trying to provoke you to do. Ask the question personally, have you done your duty? And then ask collectively as a church, have we done our duty? It's not a matter of comparing myself among ourselves. It would not be wise. It's not a matter of comparing our church with another church. That would not be wise. What I'm asking myself to do and encouraging you to do, encouraging us to do, is to look in the light of the Holy Scripture and ask the question, have I done my duty? Do I fear the Lord? Am I keeping His commandments? For this is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I confess, I guess the word is pride. Maybe selfishness, perhaps neglect. Lord, I'm glad you know the thoughts and the intents of the heart, because you know that I haven't done my duty. And I don't feel ashamed enough. I know in my head that I have a duty to do. And I have a fear in my heart, Lord, that I guess the word is I have rights when I realize I have none at all. Lord, I don't want to be pleasing in the eyes of men. I want to be pleasing in the eyes of you. And Lord, I want that for each and every one of my brethren here and sisters. And for our church, I want this church, I want myself, I want my wife and my children and my loved ones to do our duty. Lord, I confess that I failed you in so many ways. I ask you to have mercy upon me. I ask you to have mercy upon my brethren and mercy upon our church. And Lord, then I ask that you help me to do my duty. And beyond that, and help us to do our duty. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you. We have meetings tonight at 7:00. Go in peace. Amen.